Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today, I'm going to be wrapping up season 7 and above with me talking about what do you want? The foundation of building any business is a clear understanding of what do you actually want. And we talk about a couple of different components within that what of this building out a filter to get to a very clear definition of what is actually meaningful to you and what actually will make the biggest impact on those around you. I hope you guys have been enjoying the season. Enjoy talking to these coaches. I'm super fired up about all these entrepreneurs and people building out an amazing either online business or personal business while simultaneously doing a great job as a coach. And I think that's the most important part of hopefully you're getting through this. Every single person I talk to, I would put a book against anyone as some of the best coaches I've ever seen and some of the best coaches in the industry. So build your foundation of whatever business that you're trying to do around being an amazing coach, and a lot of things will fall into place. And then work at it. Be very diligent about putting in the effort towards becoming a successful business owner as you would becoming a successful coach. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and share. Also, head over to strengthtc.com. Got all my podcasts listed there. Got all my blogs. There's 50 blogs. There's a ton of blogs. As well as subscribe to our newsletter. Got amazing newsletters coming out every single week. And I'm not going to drown you in a bunch of promotional stuff. It's going to be a lot of really cool, interesting stuff to dive into, learn from. Lastly, I got a couple courses. Foundations course, which is going to be a big part of what this conversation is about. So this is essentially lecture one. I tied a little bit more into the season. And then we have our strength deficit course, which ties into our books, How to Become a Strength Coach and Strength Deficit. If you like what you're hearing, again, please subscribe and share. It makes a huge difference. And if you got time, please leave a review. It helps a ton. Thank you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying this. And we will talk about programming here in season 8, which I'm really excited about. Unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're gonna develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're gonna maintain motivation through practice. We're gonna master communication. We're gonna work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1-5 and a 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You'll learn at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundations workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1, 5, and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches aren't born. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach that you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course. So we've been talking a lot about this season in terms of building a business and what you should be thinking about when you're taking that step as either a team sector strength coach, trying to add in additional revenue stream, maybe doing some online training, maybe having thoughts of opening up your physical location, or you're in the private sector and you're working as a personal trainer, you're working at a gym, and you're trying to build up into something bigger. And one of my big things I've learned is I've always been very successful with the burning the bridges mentality, meaning that going to the team sector, it's intern or bust. And I've had several situations, and I can recall being a high school strength coach, a private sector strength coach, and volunteering, and just eliminating anything that was an attraction or not there. And I'm also the guy that would work part-time jobs enough to quit and make enough money to quit and buy the supplements or the gym memberships that I want. And I've always had that mentality. It's figure out what I need to get from this experience and then get out. And then that other process too of now that I'm a business owner and it's going on, this is my 9th year since being in the team sector. So I'm rapidly approaching that equal 15 years in the public sector, the team sector, and then now 15 years into the private sector. So at that decade mark here, this time next year, I've always really adhered to the mantra of find out what you want and then work like hell to get it. So what I'm going to do here in this last podcast of season 7 of Building a Business is really talking about what do you want? And there's so much layers to this and I'll break it down for you, but The truth of the matter is, I think everybody struggles to articulate what they want, right? And we have this concept of either if I say to the world an affirmation type format that I'll be judged or criticized or actually might be held accountable to it, that I might not be in this position I want to be. It's this idea of hedging your bets, right? So I'm at a table and I'm a roulette table. I'm trying to hedge as many bets as possible to get a win. And I think that's a difficult place, to be honest. And I think that's a concept that when I really look at young coaches, this intermediary, like I've been working in the team sector for 5-10 years, and I'm either getting disenfranchised, burnt out, or I'm seeing the end game not there, or I'm working in the private sector and my schedule is completely at the mercy of others, that we're all facing these like critical junctures in our life and our career that we need to evaluate. And what I want to do in this last episode is really break that down for you. And if you're not familiar, I do have a course called Foundations. This is actually my first lecture, but I feel strongly about that this should be shared in a podcast format because I think there's so many coaches out there that are, I don't want to say lost, that's a very harsh term, but I do think there's a sense of feeling like there's no outlet or there's no vector or there's no clear path. And sometimes that becomes disenfranchising, sometimes that becomes difficult. So one of the things that I really like to work through with coaches itself is, let's start with what, right? What do you want? And I'll preface this by, in an interview format, I always try to get to, what do you want and why do you want that? And there's got to be some sort of continuity between the two, meaning that people tell me what they want. Hey, I want to work with elite level athletes. And then I tell them, why do they want that? And if they really want to serve and help people. And yes, you can serve and help elite level athletes, but the truth of the matter is you're more managing and more of just trying to toe this line of being supportive and facilitative, but not getting in the way, not hampering, not diminishing. And that process is a really hard thing to work through, especially if you have a hyper developed set of skills and knowledge. And we look at any path of what, it's really determined by your level of skill or your ability to actually do the job. And your level of knowledge, which is the bandwidth which you can comprehend and understand complex, even complicated processes to apply that job, right? So if I look at your skill as your physical ability, your knowledge is your potential. And when we think about what, right, if I want to work in the team sector, you need to have an incredible level of skill, but also an incredible level of knowledge. If you want to work in the private sector, the same thing, but you can get away with a hyper-developed aspect of either knowledge or skill, where team sector or public sector folks have to be a little bit more well-rounded and have to be a little bit more diversified with the way they think about and approach things. And the private sector can become hyper-specialized. And one of the things that have become so evident over time is when we start to layer in our path based off of this predetermined what, you start to see people either hedge their bets and do a bunch of different things that are effectively productive procrastination, or become this victim mentality and think about the world is out to get them and not really getting what they want. And I think just a clear understanding of what do you want and how we're going to get that. So we got to build a filter here. And what I've done is create these four filters that we want to look at any what. So if you're going to tell me your what in the strength conditioning, performance enhanced health and fitness space, it's really going to fall into these four criteria. And I'm going to break it down a little bit more, but that filter, as we start to navigate this and move forward with this, becomes your most important thing. And one thing I want you to stop right now is ask yourself, like, what sector am I working in? What clientele am I working with? Demographic am I working with in business that I'm working with? And try to establish, what is it they actually do or provide to those individuals? Because your value prop is what you really need to determine based off your what. And if I'm going to pay someone for a service, that there's an infinite number of options out there in health and fitness, private strength conditioning or public strength conditioning, that there's no shortage of people looking to do what we're trying to do. And when you start to compare that to what you actually bring to the table, it's a very clear understanding of what you're trying to do. And then we'll get into the why you're trying to do that. But the truth of the matter is, if I do what is my value prop, relatively speaking, to someone else, and therefore I can charge this, or I can differentiate myself by this, or even building out a marketing plan to really shine a light on what it is that we do. But the filtration system of getting into all these four angles, and I put business at the top of the pyramid because that should be the last and least important. And I say that with a grain of salt, because if you have a strong foundation, the business becomes easy, right? That you become very clear on what you need to do from a overhead, operational expense, marketing expense, scalability aspect. When you have a very strong foundation of the sector that you want to work with, the clientele you want to work with, and the demographic that you like to work with. And you could break this down into Maslow's hierarchy of needs and really get into this process of, all right, if you're not really clear if you want to work in the public or private sector, you better figure it out, because there's a lot of time spent trying to get into either and develop that. And if you're not really clear what type of clientele you're trying to work with, you're going to struggle to really understand what your value prop is. And you might not be the best person for that, right? If you hate working with kids, but you work with youth athletes, it's a tough thing to overcome. And then finally, demographic. It's the idea of what type of sport do you want to work with, or what sector of that private sector you like to work with. All those things have a certain level of a focus and I think brand that you need to work through. Right? If you're very bombastic and loud and gregarious, like that might lend itself really well to working with high school athletes in the team sector, right? It might. If you're very cerebral and quiet, introverted, it might work itself out being more in the private sector. And I'm not trying to sit there and say that you're typecast and you can't overcome it. It's just the path is a lot more arduous. But then I'll go into here at the end is this why. And once you figure out what you want to do, then you figure out why you want to do it. And then you have to figure out how you're going to get there. And that process of going through that, I think, is often overlooked, misunderstood, and underappreciated. So the first thing to break down is your sector. What sector do you want to work with? So public, sometimes classified as a team, or private. And why I think this is so important is because the vector that you're going to have to go towards becoming a public or private sector strength conditioning coach is a lot of time and a lot of cost, a lot of emotional commitment, a lot of spiritual commitment, a lot of things that you're probably not really tracking before you start to foray into this director. Sometimes it's foretold, right? I just start working as a personal trainer at a local gym. I'm a private sector person. Or I was an athlete and I really want to stay involved and I start helping out in the weight room. Also, then now I'm a public strength coach. But then there's other paths. Like, hey, I'm going for my undergraduate in exercise science and I'm trying to figure out, what do I want to do there? I want to live in a certain area, or I want to work with a certain type of person or a certain type of athlete. Sure, like, you're going to have a little bit of say in that process. But once you start that actual first step, it's either undergrad to internship to job, or it's a start working at a gym. Maybe you get your undergrad, maybe you get a whole host of certification. Is you start to build your brand, your value prop, your just whole entire package. And it's a lot of time, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of investment in everything that you're going to do. And for instance, if you're working in the public sector, and I know there's a lot of coaches out there probably listening to this. I'm 40 years old. I have a couple of kids. I have a mortgage. And I've been working in the private sector for X amount of years. I really feel like I can be special in that team sector, public sector. You're going to be faced with the reality that what you should have done 20 years ago of interning, volunteering, and then working your way up. And I wish I could tell you it's different, but it's just not. And you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of short-term income and a lot of really big expenses, from moving to relocation to maybe taking a big risk on a job that might not actually pay off or hire you or whatever else is associated with. And vice versa. If I'm a public sector strength coach and going into the private sector, that there's a lot of humbling that you go through. And the association or the values that you've been able to apply to a team sector and existing in that space, which is a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of politics, a lot of things that you just understand how to survive and maintain and work through the process and communicate with coaches, communicate with administration, communicate with sports medicine, sports psychology, sports nutrition, and then finally athletes. You start to get a sixth sense about how to navigate that. And all that goes out the window when you start to move into the private sector. I want to be a business owner. I want to work as a private trainer. I want to start my online business. And then we start to struggle with that transition, right? And when we start to look at it from like a one-year perspective, a five-year perspective, a 10-year perspective, and then a whole career perspective, it's this general concept of, at a certain station in my life, I'll have different values, different characteristics, different things that I really resonate with. And if I don't at least inventory what industry I want to work with, when I want to work with that, certain points in my career based off the values or the characteristics I really value, then I'm going to have to maybe potentially sacrifice a lot more than I actually should. So in your early 20s and you're committing to working in the public sector, now's the time to really double down. And I would argue, don't take out a loan, but figure out a way to scrape and save and get out there and do the volunteering and the interning. Or if you're in the private sector, okay, you got to go out there and develop your skills to a certain level and maybe fast track the business acumen or the marketing acumen to a level that you really can expand your portfolio so you have a little bit more leverage on your life, right? And that process is foundational to this whole thing. And I don't want to scare you straight here, but if you're looking to pivot prematurely or you're looking to pivot to a public, to a private, and or private to a public, that you're going to have some sort of awareness that there's going to be a very big short-term cost. And you might have an expectation that your value is worth this, completely goes out the window because you basically embarked on a whole new vector in your life. And there's going to be basically starting from square one. And that process of that, man, I would go through that. So if you are listening to this and you're evaluating, all right, 50-50, whether I want to work in the private or public sector, you might want to pick the one that's going to have the bigger financial sacrifice now, which would be the public sector, because you're probably not going to get paid for anywhere from 6 to 24 months, depending on your network or your predetermined skill or some other variables that really tie into getting a job in the public sector. Or you go into the private sector and you start to make some cash, knowing that's going to be hard to go back into the public sector, therefore later. But one thing is very clear here is the more education you got, so if you have an undergraduate degree, a master's degree, that it's going to be easier to pivot later. I could pivot from a public sector or a private sector with that credentials. I could pivot from a private sector to a public sector. And I just talked about this on the Coach Him Up podcast, was this general concept of the fortitude and the earnestness that you need to have to push through and getting a degree. And let's not sit there and say that my story is harder than yours. Everyone's story is hard. Everyone's path is hard. We chose a hobby as a vocation. So we're taking a foray into a direction in our lives and our career to basically wear a t-shirt and shorts and strength train and be around people who are trying to get better every single day. Different than physical therapy, different than sports medicine. And I would come back and say too, also at this moment, that a lot of times the doctor of physical therapy pivots to strength conditioning because they realize really quickly that what they do isn't as fun as what strength coaches do, or isn't as pretty much potential. And if you're looking at it from, okay, do I want to go 6-7 years of school to become a doctor of something, to have that credential or that opportunity? Sure. If I want to have their scope, there's a much faster path. I can get my undergrad and I can get an LMT, and I basically have the same scope as most physical therapists. You're not going off the delineation that you're rehabbing, but you're going to go into this path of, I can do any hands-on work, I can do any modality in conjunction with my strength conditioning background as a physical therapist can do, but under the guise that I'm not rehabbing. And you should be very careful with that idea as a strength coach of, you don't rehab, you don't diagnose, and you don't cure, or you don't solve. You're basically finding workarounds and solutions to problems, and hopefully other people can address that on a much higher level. And the other stuff is less glamorous and not fun. And the stuff that we do as strength conditioning coach is. And that's why you see physical therapists might pivot later in their career towards something that we do. And I would make a disclaimer here. If you're a physical therapist listening to this and you're pivoting into a more strength conditioning or more performance training, you got to detach from the whole process of becoming a physical therapist. Because the assumption is I come to you if it's physical therapist because I'm in pain. And that's the expectation from you then. And maybe you've downturned that dial of maybe ignoring that little thought process in your mind of looking at everyone with white gloves. Where strength conditioning coaches, by their training and process, don't have that assumption or expectation that they're coming to me in pain. And if there is pain, as a strength coach, being aware of that, being cognizant of that, and then figuring out solutions to work around to still get them to an outcome, whether it's biomotor of improving force, velocity, or work, whether it's biomechanic of improving some sort of movement competency, whether it's a recreational sport or direct sport, or them just be able to do ADLs or activities of daily living, or if it's some sort of bioenergetic, but you're going longer, or some sort of body composition where they're trying to look better by adding lean muscle or losing body fat. But the vector that we create our programs off of isn't thought of, oh, this person's coming to see me, I better really diagnose and try to triangulate what pain it is and try to solve that. Quite frankly, I don't care about pain. I care about doing things that are not painful to get them to an outcome. And if you're that person who's on the verge of going to physical therapy school to try to embark on that, to have the credentials, and you still know that you're going to come around to being a strength coach, save your damn money, save your damn time. If you want to have the scope to do hands-on work, just get your LMT, licensed massage therapist, and understand state-to-state like regulations and laws. But you'll have the same hands-on skills. You can still sit for any high-level courses in some sort of hands-on work, whether it's massage therapy through like ART or something like an FR, where you can really work on your skill as a massage therapist or a hands-on practitioner while still having this pretense of my job effectively as a strength conditioning coach is get to some sort of outcome. And when I get a roadblock, I'll just find another direction. And there are physical therapists out there that are very skilled at detaching from that brain that goes, okay, this person's in pain. I'll fix that first. When you're a strength coach, you're outcome driven. When you're a clinician, a doctor of any sort, your job is really to find the symptoms and work through that, get into some sort of solution for that. I don't need to cure someone's ailment. I need to figure out the solution to get them to an outcome with knowledge that thing exists. But that trajectory here that we're going, and we're going through, and I would argue too, and this is important for a lot of young coaches or undergrad looking to get maybe their DPT, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. When you tell me you want to be a strength coach, get your ass on the floor and coach. And don't start to distract yourself with pursuing higher level education when you haven't built the foundation of coaching. Remember, skill and knowledge are the things that differentiate you and delineate you as a great asset for someone. And why someone pays me is because I'm phenomenal at coaching and phenomenal at programming. The potential for me to get my hands-on clinical ability isn't really there. And I would be probably a shitty doctor because I have a very poor tolerance for people who are in discomfort and pain. And part of my actual value prop is pushing people past whatever threshold or ceiling that they have. And that's something that I've conditioned myself over time to really understand my assignment here. And when I'm in the public sector, okay, I need to appraise and appreciate that not many people have the tolerance or the threshold or even the incentive to push through discomfort as much as someone in the public sector who's got some sort of season coming up or trying to win a starting job or getting generational wealth of going professional in some sport. But the same underlying tone of there is a bottleneck of a pain or pre-existing injury. I need to figure out how to work around that to get them to a specific outcome of jumping higher, running faster, or being more skilled on the court or the field. Or if I'm looking at it from the private sector, I need to get this person who's maybe coming off some sort of traumatic injury and getting them to a body composition out. But the sector here, as we start to break this down, this is your foundation. Do I want to work in the public or the private? And then you start to formulate a plan. Okay, do I have a background in athletics? Did I play Division I sports? Did I play professional sports? I can probably use my network pretty well. If I didn't have that, then I'm going to have to suck it up and move through that process of interning, building up my network, demonstrating my value over a long period of time without pay. If I'm in the private sector, you got to get in there. You got to hone your skills, hone your knowledge, build your business, build your marketing, really delineate yourself as a valuable asset, either in a box gym or your own gym. Then we move into the client type. And when you're working in the public sector, it's pretty much 100% athlete, right? So when I'm thinking about my value prop as a public sector, this starts to get funneled into a very one level rung there. When I work with Gen Pop, we have to start to disassociate from, okay, I'm trying to build up my roster for either adult Gen Pop, or I'm looking at it from an athlete, and that's going to usually fall into the high school or under college level athlete. Maybe you have some college athletes come back in the summer, and then you might have an opportunity to work with professional athletes in their off season. All great. And one thing that you'll find, and we'll lean in hard in terms of the client type in the private sector, is that everybody's jockeying for the same time, right? It's either before or after school or before or after work. That's it, right? And spoiler alert, if you're working in the service industry, you have to service people who have to provide or who make an income to pay for whatever it is that you're providing. So you have to work around their schedule. Same thing in the public sector. You're working around their class schedule, their practice schedule, their game schedule. It's no different in the public sector. So the illusion that you could build your own schedule, maybe there's under 1% of our entire industry who can actually be selective of when and where they work and who they work with. The rest of us mortals have to be very open and receptive to the idea that we're going to work whenever our clients are available and whenever it is that they can actually tolerably be there. And off of that, you have to pick a horse. And I think so often we look at it from, if you talk to a business consultant, like, we'll just make money in the hours that you're not working with those other people. Easier said than done, right? High school athletes and adult gen pop professionals had to figure out windows of time before, after work, before, after school, before, after practice. That's the really game. So we're looking at it from, we have to make enough money in a certain period of time to justify what we do. So if I have my own commercial gym or if I'm working at a box gym, I got to be really good from the hours of 5 to 7 a.m. and really good potentially from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then I got to hopefully close that gap with some folks in between. It's looking at it from, you might as well just call the hours of 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. is dead period for you as a coach. Now, with that being said, though, is picking that person, not from just a business standpoint, but also to where you feel like you can make the biggest dent in the universe. I'm really good with adults who are professional. Like, I feel like I have a certain approach of, you should be intrinsically motivated and really understand why you're here and the purpose. And that's the way this relationship goes. And my job is to support, to motivate, to encourage, to hold accountable. Versus I'm really good with high school athletes and I'm really good with kids and I really resonate with that demographic and I love to be that person that makes a difference in young people's lives. And when you start to look at your personality type, your skill set, your knowledge, and where you're really passionate about, you have to match that with the idea that your business is going to take form in that. And if I'm in the public sector, the illusion that I could work with anybody at all times is a farce. It's not there. It's not going to happen because there's a bottleneck in terms of when you can work with them. And there's also a skill component and a knowledge component that you have to accept and take as reality that you're just going to be certain type of coach and you're going to be better for certain type of client types within that subgroup of the public sector, of the private sector. And that process too, as we start to whittle this down into a big vector here, you have to really look at it from, where do I want to be in 5 years from now? If I don't want to work with high school athletes, I better start to lay in working with adult gen pop now and start to use referrals and word of mouth and more marketing, right? You'll see the cliche ad on social media, like, are you a dad of 40 who's struggling to lose weight? That's built off of where you feel like you could build a big business out of it, where you feel like you can bring a tremendous service. The another level is like putting up highlight reels of athletes training with you. That's going to resonate with that. And then it's going to disassociate that mom or dad that has the kid. Like, okay, that place isn't for me. That works with adult or with youth athletes. And you'll find your business starts to take fold in. And then you start to get into, okay, the seasonality of it. Like, I'll pick up speed in the fall where I lose a lot of my public sector high school athletes. I'll start to get some adult gen pop in here. But then that will go out the window when I get to January where my fall sport athletes come. And you tell those adult gen pop, hey, that time spot that you got accustomed to and comfortable with, well, I'm going to give that back to my high school athletes because that's what I really do here. And that process too is you got to ride that wave, right? Being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, there's a roller coaster effect and there's a seasonality effect. And you need to manage and temper your expectation of having year-round revenue coming in, especially with your client schedules being different from the fall to the spring or to the winter, to the spring, to the summer. And there's going to be peak seasons and there's going to be slow seasons. And do you have enough revenue coming in to get you through the slow seasons? Or do you have enough momentum and diversified income, whether it's digital training, nutritional services, maybe you do some consulting work in these down seasons to allow for your revenue to keep coming in. And then knowing there's a shelf life there when you're really time to shine. Now let's move into demographic. And this kind of goes back into a both public and private sector. Really, you look at it from high school, college, or pro, or you could put adult gen pop in there as well. And if we look at it from the demographic of, hey, I want to work with athletes. So I want to work in the public sector, work with athletes. You got three different areas and you have the adult gen pop is like the fourth one. If you're looking at it from the public sector, you can work within a team setting in all three of these levels. And as we start to look at my demographic, I look at my personality type, I look at my interest, I look at what really resonated with me. And we always get that story of like, why strength conditioning? And it's always, it's cliche, but I think it's important to you. It's important to me. It's my story. It's my, I'm the hero in my own story kind of mentality. But I had a crappy high school strength coach. And I always thought if I had someone better, I'd be further along in athletics. Or I had someone who's really influential in my life and they made a big difference for me and I want to be that extension for them for the next person. Or if there was a place like what I envisioned, what I could provide, I can take a cluster of athletes in a community and make them into metahumans, right? That process is always there and always, I think, important, because as we start to get through the grind, so to speak, you build out a gym or you build out your roster and then there comes a job, that hero story you create in your mind of who you are, what you want to be, and why you're doing it starts to push you through that Thursday at 5 a.m. to Friday and then the following week. It pushes you through 52 weeks of trying to make as much money as humanly possible. It pushes you through rejection and clients saying, hey, I can get it cheaper elsewhere. Or, hey, my friend's going to go there. I'm just going to go with them. Or, hey, it's time for the fall. I really can't commit to training in season. And it's that perseverance and that fortitude based on a solid understanding of what you want is what really determines your success in this industry, right? If you look at, you go to a national conference, how many 50-year-old strength conditioning coaches are still actively coaching at a high level? And the sustainability of it all, right? It's long hours. It's really crappy hours. It's low pay. It's a lot of friction. It's a lot of zeitgeist coming into the fold of, hey, this person said that, or that person said this. And there's a lot of unqualified, unprofessional people giving input and direction on what they should or shouldn't be doing. And you have to manage all that. And it becomes exhausting. It becomes tedious. It becomes something that you, quite frankly, struggle to manage. So when we're thinking about the high school, college, and pro aspect or adult gen pop from a demographic in the public or the private sector, there's a lot of variables to consider here. And one thing I always ask people, like, what really makes you happy? Family, my wife, my kids, my husband, my kids, being close to my parents, being close to all my relatives, being indented into a community. Like, I grew up in this community. I love this community. I want to be here. All my friends and family are here. I care passionately about it. And you should have this ability to not bifurcate, but also have the ability to disassociate from what really makes me happy versus what I really want to do. And when I get into that what and why, I want to work with elite level athletes and I want to help people, they're not congruent. And I'll follow it up with what makes you happy. And it's, I work to live and I want to be able to do things that I enjoy, like travel or recreational activities or hobbies. Okay, you got to really pick that path as it allows facilitated that. And you can look at tactical as another aspect of this, which is, I think, often overlooked, misunderstood, but there's a benefit to working with tactical because it's a government job and you can get to work a normal 40-hour work week and you can have weekends and holidays and you can have paid vacation and you have benefits and all that good stuff associated with it. There's a downside to it, that it's a job. It becomes very quickly a job and you have to evaluate that. I'm a person who lives to work and I don't really resonate with it. So I like that cutthroat environment, working with athletes and putting my stuff out there and seeing my best is better than your best. Or I just want a place where I can provide a lot of value to a lot of people and I really resonate with the high school or the college or the pro athlete. And the best place to do that is in this public sector. Or I like to work with adult gen pop because I find that I can make a bigger difference with them and I really understand my purpose and my meaning in life. But as we're starting to build out this sector, the client type, your demographic, inventory yourself at this moment of, like, where am I at? What am I doing? Who am I working with? How did this come to be? Am I working with anyone yet? Okay, who do I want to work with? Who's my avatar? Who's the person that I know I can make a big impact on? And who's the person that can make an impact while I can still have these other things in my life that I value? Last is your business type. And this is something as we start to push through with social media and building out an online brand, becomes so interesting how it plays out from the I want to be a customer facing or coach facing. I want to provide education to coaches, much like I'm doing with this podcast, with my courses or my books, or I want to provide a direct level of service to a athlete or client. And as we start to evaluate the business, I know a lot of folks want to get into the B2C or B2B, business to business, and provide a level of education and service to a larger group of people. I want 1 million followers and I want to have a huge concentric circle and I want to have courses and I want to have things that teach people how to train. One thing that becomes very evident and obvious over time is if you go to the B2B first, you won't have a lot of pedigree and a lot of tangible experiences to seem authentic and capable in the B2C with the business to customer. And if you're looking to go into a B2B eventually, right? Maybe that's your 5-year pivot, right? I want to build a credible resume of working in the public sector and getting into a Power Four Division One school or making it a professional sport, or I'm in the private sector and I'm built out this incredible roster of professional athletes that are all pro, all NBA, MVPs, and they're seeking me out. And now I want to leverage that to building out a educational platform to have more revenue coming in. Then you can feel more authentic when you get to that critical question of what do you do in this scenario? Because experiences teach us everything. The knowledge and the skill, knowledge is your potential, but skill is your actual determinant of value. And if we look at that B2B, I'm not just looking at the knowledge you've attained, because anyone can read a book, a research article, or listen to other people and appropriate that for themselves. What differentiates really quality level of education is being able to cite multiple experiences in that. In my proprietary system of education, whether I go through my 3 books of How to Become a Strength Coach, Foundations course, which is that foundation for coaching, then I move through my strength deficit book and course, which is a specialized niche-based thing, and then I look through my level 1 through 5 certification. The real thing that goes through that all the way through is I've lived every single aspect of it, and I'm trying to understand and unpack how to explain that to someone else. I've been in the public sector 15 years. I've been in the private sector now for my 9th year, so 8 years in completion, 23 years in the industry with a diversity of experiences and everything. And I could break down each one of those, the sector, the client type, the demographic, and my experiences in that. And I think I was very good in a lot of those areas, better in some. And I started to carve out there. Now I'm in this position where I'm simultaneously doing B2C and B2B. And the B2B, make no excuse about it, is for me to be able to understand and unpack what I do and scale it. It's that ability to take everything in my brain and leverage my experiences and try to, one, help the next person. And my mantra is providing solutions for strength conditioning coaches, because I am a strength coach and I understand how hard it is. And the acquisition of knowledge is basically just feeding into this thing of more things that you can't do versus the acquisition of knowledge in conjunction with developing and simultaneously enhancing your skill to coach at a high level. And that process of, okay, eventually I want to get to B2B. I really want to be a speaker. I really want to write books and articles, and I want to be a person that has an influence on the industry. You're building a foundation. This is why I said that the business is the smallest part of this. You're building a foundation of what demographic that you really resonate with. And all of a sudden you start to build in that B2B. Okay, I'm a person who's really can resonate with public sector strength coaches. And if you're going to ask me about building a business, if you're going to ask me about marketing, I would be the first to say there's much better people out than me. Way better. I'm mediocre at best. And I tolerate being a business owner to be able to be the coach that I love being. And then look at my client type. Like I'm really good with athletes. Like I'm really good with them. And I have a very commanding presence and a very high expectation and standard. And I can hold them to that standard every single time. And I've gotten better with working with Adult Gen Pop. That if I've started to work through that process of I say you do, and there's no exceptions to being more meritocratic about it. This is shared. Everyone's got responsibility. Everyone has a say in the process. And I can look at that Adult Gen Pop of what do you want? Okay, my job here is to really push you to those really tangible things that are going to make a difference to that. You want to increase your body? You want to decrease your body fat? Okay, we've got to eat less and we've got to exercise more. And when you're not feeling like doing it, I'm going to push you on that. I'm going to send you a message. I'm going to remind you. I might have some accountability. And the body comp coming up this Friday. Make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's because this thing's coming. But all that being considered is I had a different station in my life where I wanted to have more control, more autonomy, more of the freedom that I felt like I needed in my life to be a father, be a husband. Really test myself of if I really think I'm that good and to put myself as a commercial product, would it be able to sell? Okay. There's no better indicator of that than actually creating a product and trying to sell it. And then finally, it's this other idea. Now that I've built a podcast, I've written books, I've developed courses, and I sell that as a commercial product. And I'm always honored and flattered when a coach hits me up and says, hey, I would love to pick your brain about some stuff. Oh, I have evergreen courses and resources for you to dive into that I think it would really help you. And where I go through that course, but the real value of it is you're leveraging my 23 years of experience. You're building out an educational platform that really is differentiated. And I'm passionate about it. And I'm not just going off the cuff. I have great recall and I've read countless number of books you can see behind me. And that's just a fraction of things I've read and gone through. I can look at a coach and dead face in their eye and feel what they're feeling. Cause I've been there. I've had a great conversation with a great coach. He's got a great job. He loves it. Feels a little burnt out, a little disenfranchised. And you ask anyone on the outside, maybe someone trying to enter the industry or someone that's working in the private sector and wants to pivot towards the public sector, to hear someone complain about being in the public sector as a dream job would feel odd and awkward. But you don't know that because you've never been there. And everything has a shelf life. Everything has a burnout. Everything has a point of diminishing returns. Career's that. I mean, one of the things that I think is so hard for coaches to really understand is that you're living the montage scene of every one of your favorite 80s and 90s movie. There's a burnout effect of that. That once you accomplish the goal, you reach the top of the summit, what next? You become intoxicated by the process. And then when you accomplish a goal, you feel empty and you feel disenfranchised. Buddhism talks about this extensively. Like there's always more that's not fulfilling you. And this is a start with what? Because so much we put into, and we sacrifice so much to get to this process, getting to an outcome. And you have this expectation of, I want to be a public speaker. And I feel like I can make a big difference on social media. And I'm going to put a lot of education and information out there. Is offset by you feel like a fraud. You feel like this person that doesn't really have the platform. Or isn't undeserving of your platform. And you're just keep regurgitating things all the time. Versus I have a really strong platform of working with athletes or customers, and I can now leverage that in a shared experience and on my terms and my time, and I can do that. And I'm not sitting there saying there's not people who are tremendous public speakers who are really interesting and compelling or funny and have a great aesthetic and build out a really great online presence and then parlay that into an amazing B2B level of service. You can do it. It's there. And there's plenty of examples to do that. And I would be the first to say, good for that. But if you're really trying to be a great coach and you go to your what and what you want to do, it's the B2B that becomes secondary to what's B2C. And your best indicator if you're successful that are people are paying you or you're keeping your job. And I love to hear people get fired and they feel like they're a victim and they tell me that it was circumstantial. There's no such thing as a circumstantial firing. Either you weren't bringing return on investment to a business or you weren't bringing a lot of value. And now going off the guise that you didn't do something substantially or irreparably harmful, that you weren't toxic, you didn't have harassment issues, you didn't have something where arrest or something that was nefarious in nature, that we're good people who are working really hard. We're just not bringing a lot of value. We're not making a lot of money. You got to go to what you're doing, the demographic, the client type, or the sector, the client type, and the demographic to really ensure that you're in the right lane. And it might mean a pivot right now and get busy living or get busy dying. But when we get to that critical juncture of the business that you want to operate with, the rush to go to B2B, I think, is always going to be there and it's always going to be tempting because I like to, my social group and my tribe are strength and conditioning coaches. So I love to double up on that and say, okay, I'll provide a service. Would you guys be interested in buying my course, my book, listening to my podcast to essentially monetize my friendships? But a large part of that is, do I have a foundation or something credible or something distinguished that actually makes people interested in what I'm saying? The last part of this is every one of these things has the right to change. And one of the things that we'll talk about in the foundations course is your philosophy versus your mission. Your philosophy is what you're trying to build as a mantra or a guiding light to help the what that you're trying to accomplish. So my philosophy is based off of working with adult gen pop. And I want to have a structure to my training that facilitates what they need. Maybe I go a Pareto principle of 80-20. Of the 100 things I can do, I'm only going to choose 20 things are going to bring 80% of the results. and that falls into a push-pull Hendrick squat. And I'll just tell you my philosophy. It's compound closed kinetic chain exercises done in all three planes and vectors, adhering to first principles of physics and first principles of training, and evolving my rules based off my execution of principles. And that philosophy is pretty boilerplate. It's pretty safe. It's adaptable to a lot of environments. But what it does, it keeps me grounded and keeps me focused on that. The mission, that's my why. That's ultimately what I want to accomplish. And I'll be the first to say it. I want to be recognized as one of the greatest strength conditioning coaches of all time. What does that mean? Right? Does that mean I have a lot of peer acclaim and a peer value? Does that mean I have a lot of social media followers? Does that mean I have a lot of clients paying me a lot of money? Could be all the above. Could that mean that the people that know the difference between good or bad know that I'm good? Could be that. And the best indicator of that is, do I have a successful business with coaches that are developing and going on to the future, my tree, so to speak? Do I have a successful B2B business where coaches and trainers value the services that I provide enough so that they pay me? And then I start to look at it from, there's other indicators like engagement on social media, likes, follows, shares. There's people singing your praises, giving reviews. There's all sorts of indicators, and you're never going to be enough. But the end of the day is, okay, that's my mission. And that's my mission. My mission for helping and serving others. Okay, like that's part of my structure and why I do what I want to do. But there's an element of my what is in a place where I really need to think I need to distinguish myself in arenas or places that allow me to have the platform that I know I need to have and have the credibility to have. That if I'm speaking at a conference and I get up there, I need to feel confident in that moment that I can bring a lot of value to every single person in the audience. If I'm recording a podcast and I'm just screaming into the ether, hoping someone listens or resonates with it, I know I need to have a lot of value. The time you spent, the last 30 minutes of me just rambling about how to build a business, I think that process is undervalued and you could spend your time anywhere. Okay, so I'm gonna pause here. I'm gonna stop. I want you to go through, if you're in the team sector or the public sector and you're looking to build an online business, go through all these podcasts. We've had some amazing resources in here from both the public and the private sector. If you're in the private sector looking to go into the public sector, I'm not gonna try to scare you straight here or dream kill you here, but I'll tell you, it's gonna be pretty arduous. You're a salmon going upstream. You're going the wrong direction with the flow of the water. Possible, worth it, I don't know. Maybe you're making six figures right now and you have great quality of life and you have great schedule, but you want to chop that up to work with elite athletes in the public sector and have a team sector of a job or have a logo for $30,000 a year and working 70 hours a week and having a high potential to get fired or relocated. Each its own. But the other note of it too is that what really you want right now, and that's the process of commit to it, really see what you can get, tell people you want to accomplish it, and then when you accomplish it, you can reevaluate. And go through that process of sector, client type, demographic, business structure. What is it that you really want? And I think we live in an era of social media and building out a bunch of things that you can really lean into while you're doing that. So you can diversify your portfolio without sacrificing the farm. There's always a cost to it. And I think there's a benefit to it. And one of the great conversations I had this past season with Zach Zillner, it actually helped with the recruiting. It helped with my pedigree, helped me get a new job. And I think there's a benefit to building out a brand online, but there's also a distraction effect. That's off the foundation of really doing a good job. And if you're one of those coaches that's working at a smaller school and you have double-digit teams and you don't have a lot of time to build out a online presence, it's okay. Just build out, do a great job with what you got and making sure that you're attending conferences and you're going to courses and you're reading and you're networking and you're trying to do everything you possibly can to develop yourself. And when that time comes, when your schedule gets a little bit lessened, that you can push in another direction. Okay. So take home from this entire season is that there's no excuse. There's no reason why you can't build out the dream business that you always hoped for. There's no excuse why we should be thinking about pivoting and going to a whole new sector or whole new career because of my trajectory in strength conditioning. Like my mission of providing solutions for strength coaches is dual, of giving them a great vector to start from, but also too an evaluation of At what point do you got to cut your losses and move on to something else or pivot to something that becomes you can resonate with or you can become more successful with? End of the day, work really hard, develop your skill, develop your knowledge, try to make as big of a dent in the universe as possible. Leverage all the resources available to you. I got a ton of free here. I got a ton on my blog. Just keep pushing. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate this. I sincerely hope this is bringing value. And we'll see you next season. We're going to be talking about program design. What I want to do is interview some of the best strength conditioning coaches in the country and the world. So if you guys have any recommendations, please send them my way. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And this is strictly programming, right? The pen to paper, the people that can write the best programs. And I'm going to talk about coaching the best coaches in season 9. What I want to do is start to build out a really good platform for developing great coaches. That's my mission here with this B2B level of service. Thank you guys.